sign of the end times is apostasy. There are a lot of other signs, but the great sign of the end times is the great falling away that we are seeing take place right before our eyes. And at the time of the rapture, it will be final, full, complete. Up to this point, you're seeing the rubber hit the road, and you're seeing the true Bible believers exposed as being a very small remnant. And what is left after the rapture is a completely false church in Laodicea. And this great sign of the end times, there are other signs that set the stage, but the great sign that we're nearing the time of the Antichrist is this apostasy that's taking place. And this will involve Bible believers or professing Bible believers, people who claim to be King James Fundamental Independent Baptist. They will preach antinomianism, and they're doing it now. Paul predicted in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And we're here. He says in verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection," gay Christians, "truce breakers," all this divorce and everything going on, "false accusers, incontinent." By the way, I'm constantly being accused by these false Christians. "They're incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." They will hate you, despise you. "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Now watch this. Verse 5 says, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." These people are preaching a false gospel, and they're producing false churches. They're producing churches filled with unrepentant believers. For verse 6 says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And you see, there's basically two main groups within professing Bible-believing Christianity. I'm not talking about the Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, the mainline Protestant churches, the American Baptist Convention. Those people have been apostate for years. I'm talking about people who carry around a Bible and will quote it and read it and claim to be Bible believers, and yet they pervert the Bible. And they have produced a false gospel that is a gospel of Sodom, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they do exactly what this said. You'll see, it seems like the majority of very outspoken people involved with this hyper-dispensationalism and this hacking the Bible up and hacking up repentance so that it doesn't mean repentance of sin. They get these silly women laden with sins, and then they plaster this stuff all over the place. And if you ever rebuke them or try to deal with them, then they call you a meanie because you're a man picking on a woman. Then you have 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 4. Again, talking about the last days in which we live. It says, "I charge thee before God," and they say it again, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season." We're there. "Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for," this verse 3, "for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." And we're there. This false gospel lacking repentance of sin. "But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." These guys are always telling you what so-and-so said, and what preacher said this, and what preacher said that. In verse 4, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." You know where you find your fables today? Your stupid Greek lexicons. Those were written by reprobates. And you want to correct my King James Bible with your lexicon? Go take a jump off the nearest cliff. Burn your lexicons. That's where we're at today. And the word repentance does not mean change of mind. That's a stupid lexicon, apostate definition. It comes from Westcott, Hort, and German higher critics and apostates in Europe and England from the 19th century. It does not come from the King James Bible. You have turned your ears from the truth and accepted and swallowed a fable, and now you're vomiting it all over the place to mislead people. And I don't give a rip what you think of me. I don't care what you think of my preaching. Leave the room. Get off my channel. Don't come back to my website. Don't come back to the church that I pastor. I don't care. You hate the truth. You love fables. You love lexicons. You might as well follow leprechauns. You say, well, you're kind of angry. I am really angry. I'm sick of these apostates and perverts calling themselves King James Bible believers and telling people, you don't have to repent of your sins. Just believe the facts of the gospel. Hey, Fred, you're humping Harry? Keep humping Harry and just believe the facts of the gospel and you can be saved. You're a lying pig. You're swine. You ought to be ashamed of yourself and drop to your knees and repent to God because He's going to bring you to your knees if you don't go there voluntarily, you false preacher. Jack Scott preached your gospel. That's why he's in prison for screwing a 17-year-old girl and taking her across the state lines and committing federal crimes to do it. Jack Hiles preached your false gospel. That's why he was screwing his secretary for years. That's why his own daughter's out there trying to warn people about his false gospel. Bob Gray in Florida preached that false gospel, and he was molesting little children. I want nothing to do with you independent, fundamental creeps and your false gospel. Don't associate with me. Don't associate my name with your ministry. That's not a ministry. It's a ministry, but it's a ministry of Satan. You're a minister of Sodom preaching this nonsense that you can be saved without believing the gospel with a repentant heart. And you don't chop up repentance and say, oh, it's only repentance of unbelief. The Bible never says such a thing. You repent of everything in you. What you are, your nature, what you do, your sins, and what you believe, your unbelief. Jude warned about these creeps who preach this gospel without the repentance of sin. He said in Jude chapter 1, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, which is what I'd like to do, I'd just like to talk about being saved. I'd just like to preach the book of Genesis and preach the book of Galatians and preach the book of Revelation. But you've got these creeps out here that Jude had to deal with. And he said, It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. And that's what I'm doing right now. Which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Shame on you. Preaching a gospel without repentance of sin. You're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Hey, Sherry, you sleeping with your sister? It doesn't matter. Just believe the facts of the gospel and you'll be saved. Liar. Hey, Johnny. You a thief? You stealing money off your parents so you can buy crack? That's not what the gospel's about. You don't have to repent of your sins. Just believe the facts of the gospel. Jesus died for your sins, was buried and rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. Do you acknowledge that you're a sinner? Yeah, I admit I'm a sinner. Do you acknowledge Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Well, yeah, I believe that's true. Do you acknowledge He rose from the dead? Well, yeah, I believe that. Well, then, you're saved. Oh, hey, if you still, like $500 and you can spare $100, put it in my offering plate. Bunch of sellouts. Apostates don't preach like Jesus did. In Luke 15:7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Doesn't say anything about repenting of unbelief. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. He says right here that repentance is about the sin that has condemned them to hell. Luke 15:10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Matthew 9:13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, how are you going to do that when you don't even confront people with the fact they're sinners? You're only confronting them with the fact that they have sin that God died for, and the only thing that they're being condemned for is unbelief. Oh, it's not about sins. You don't have to. I mean, Stephen Anderson, that creep, he's out there telling everybody, you don't have to repent of sins. At the end of his Jew hate film, his little buddy is out there saying, oh, you don't have to repent of sins. No, you don't have to worry about sin. I mean, that's not what this is all about. It's just the fact you haven't believed the facts of the gospel. Nonsense. Mark 1:15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God as is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. And of course, these hyper-dispensational nuts are out there telling everybody, well, Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom and Paul didn't. He preached the gospel of the grace of God. They're the same thing. Mark 1:15, it says, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe what? The gospel. John 3:3. And the hyper-dispensationalists, at least a lot of them, will deny you need to be born again. And the reason is because in John 3, where Jesus teaches being born again, listen to what he says. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Ha! Jesus was preaching being born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Well, Acts 1:3, before Jesus ascended to heaven, to whom also he showed himself, he's talking about all the witnesses for 40 days, it says, alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and what? Speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Well, Acts 8:12 says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Why? They were saved because they believed the things concerning the kingdom of God, and that you don't get in there unless you're born again, so repent and believe the gospel. That's what they preached. See, well, that's not Paul. Acts 19 is. Acts 19:8, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Anyone telling you that repentance doesn't involve sin and that the kingdom of God was not a part of the Pauline ministry, they're liars. Acts 20 is the Apostle Paul. Acts 20:25. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Paul's ministry, as the book of Acts brings the transition into the church age, preached the kingdom of God. And that's how the book ends. Acts 28:31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Jesus preached the kingdom of God. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Paul preached the kingdom of God, and Paul preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Paul received mysteries that Jesus had spoken in parables. Paul was given the infallible interpretation and revelation of those mysteries, and that's how he ends the book of Romans in chapter 16, telling folks that that's what had happened. And in Romans 14:17, he says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, if Paul did not preach the kingdom of God, then how do we keep seeing Paul talk about the kingdom of God? And He says in verse 25 of Romans 16, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel," he's not saying that he's the only one preaching that gospel. It's my gospel too. And if you're a believer, it's your gospel. "And the preaching of Jesus Christ." Look at that. These hyper-dispensational nuts who tell you not to pay attention to Jesus Christ because he's not, it's only between Romans and Philemon. Everything else, you just hack it to pieces. In verse 25 of Romans 16, Paul, our apostle, says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the" what? "Revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest." Now is made manifest. Jesus preached the mysteries and parables, but now they're made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Oh, obedience of faith? Isn't that works? No, it's because of repentance, which is a gift of God. You got these hyper dividers and hyper dispensationalists. They're hyper nutcases. Colossians chapter 4, verse 11, "And Jesus," which is called justice, talking about a different, not Jesus Christ, but justice, "who are of the circumcision," or Jews, "these only are my fellow workers unto" what? "The kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me." Paul was a minister of the kingdom of God. Paul preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, and his gospel is the gospel of the grace of God, and it is the gospel of the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again by believing that gospel that Jesus Christ preached, that Jesus Christ spoke of in parables, that Paul preaches, and Paul then gives us the mysteries revealed through him of the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's how it works. 2 Thessalonians 1:5, "which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of" what? "The kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer." Now, if we're not preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and we're not preaching things pertaining to the kingdom of God, how is it that we're told in one of the last epistles that Paul wrote that we are suffering because of the kingdom of God, and that we should continue and be counted worthy of the kingdom of God? Biblical preachers call for sinners to repent. If you do not call for sinners to repent, lost sinners to repent, you're not a real preacher. You're not a biblical preacher. Mark 2:17, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He didn't just come to call people to repent of their unbelief. He called them to repent of their sin, which includes unbelief. Luke 24:47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the Jews." No, that's not what it says. "Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." 2 Peter 3:9, "Peter confirms the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He doesn't qualify the word by saying only of unbelief. After Paul received the mysteries, he received the mysteries that during the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9, when he's saved, and Jesus then takes him and gives him the revelation of the mysteries. And then he begins writing those revelations of those mysteries in his epistles. Acts 17:30, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Acts 20:21, Paul's ministry was testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. From what? Just unbelief? It never says that. It's to repent of everything. You are a sinner. You have a sin nature. You commit sins because of your sin nature, and you have nothing but unbelief and disbelief and wrong belief. So you turn from all of that toward God. And I didn't say stop sinning to be saved, which is lordship salvation. Some of you stupid idiots don't know what it is, and you preach against it all the time. You turn from everything you are, everything you believe, everything you've done, toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that Christ died for our sins, etc. We're going to quote that again in a minute. I'll stop there for just a second. Acts 26:20 again, Paul, it says he's living in his own hired house for a couple of years there, and he says, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. According to you people who are condemning people like me for preaching repentance of sins, according to you and your own definition, the Apostle Paul is a false preacher, because Paul did not preach your gospel that didn't include repentance, and Paul didn't preach the same gospel that some of you have come part of the way and preaching repent of unbelief. Paul never preached such a thing. Paul said, repent of what? Everything. Repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Repentance isn't works. Repentance produces works, just like true faith should produce works as well. Paul did not preach this false gospel that you people who preach against repentance and preach against repentance of sins are preaching. Paul preached in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. I believe a lot of these nuts have done exactly that. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our unbelief. Wrong. How that Christ died for our sin nature and unbelief. Wrong. How that Christ died for our sins. Personal sins. According to what? The Scriptures, and not your favorite preacher or your own imaginations. Not according to fables. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And this is a serious matter, because you are cursed. Those of you preaching a gospel that does not include repentance of sins, that hack repentance up to just be about unbelief or remove repentance altogether, you are cursed. Galatians 1:6-9, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, which is what these people are doing. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. 5:31 says that repentance is not a work. And a lot of these guys convince people that repentance is a work, and that's how they convince them to chop the gospel up into this antinomian, lascivious gospel of Sodom. Acts 5:31 says, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. You're accusing God of lying every time you say repentance is a work. Acts 11:15, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Repentance is not a work, it's a gift granted by God. Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? And finally, 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, which is what I'm doing right now, if God peradventure will give them repentance, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, some of these nuts will say this isn't talking about Christians. How can you be a Christian if you haven't acknowledged the truth? And we've shown in other passages, he's clearly talking to the unsaved Israelites who crucified Jesus Christ, and says that repentance is something given by God and granted by God. Repentance is not just a change of mind. It's not just about unbelief when it regards salvation. Of course, the word repent can be used in any context. I can say I'm going to have a chocolate ice cream cone and repent and then turn and say, I want vanilla. Now, was it just a change of mind? No. It was in my own heart, my opinion, and it came out of my mouth. Repentance is not just something in the mind. And Genesis 6:6, God repented and had nothing to do with sin. But it describes repentance. Whatever the object, whatever the subject of the repentance is, it involves not just your mind. Genesis 6:6, and it repented the Lord that He made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. Now, I've had a couple of these guys say, well, it's not just about the mind. The mind and the heart are used interchangeably. Then why don't you preach that, you little liar? Why don't you preach it? Why don't you say repentance is just a change of heart? I'll tell you why. Number one, you got your definition from the corrupt lexicons and not the Word of God. And number two, because you're a coward. You're afraid of what people who do preach that repentance is a change of mind will say to you if you say it's a change of heart. You're not fooling me and you're not fooling God. Back in Israel, Ezekiel the prophet in chapter 14, verse 6, therefore say unto the house of Israel, God is instructing Ezekiel to speak to Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. That is a God-given, God-inspired, built-in definition to the word repentance. It is to turn. You turn from not just unbelief. He mentions idols. Idolatry isn't just unbelief. It's an act. And turn your faces from all your abominations, which include sodomy, fornication, blasphemy, etc. Then in Ezekiel 18:30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. And don't tell me this is to save people. These are to Israelites who were godless, abominable, idolaters, and sex freaks. And repentance involved a change of heart about sin and their sins, their transgressions, their abominations. 2 Corinthians 7:10 in the New Testament, Paul says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And you liars out there say repentance has nothing to do with salvation. You are contradicting Almighty God. The Bible never presents repent as just a change of mind. The Bible never presents repentance as a work, but is a gift from God. Those who receive the Word of God, it effectually works in them, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:13, and God then produces repentance and faith in that person. But any person without repentance and faith, they haven't really received the Word of God. They can't be saved. Number three, those preaching this gospel of the mind without repentance of sin are cursed. And number four, this gospel without repentance of sin is the end time apostate gospel of Sodom. Anyone preaching this false gospel of salvation without repentance of sin is a servant of Satan by choice.